Morning, everyone.
Morning,
good to see you. Glad to see you're still awake.
Yeah.
May it ever be so. Right. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. So, as you've heard, we're going to look at finding rest in God, and has already been said, that doesn't mean going to sleep. As we'll see, it means something quite different. But I'd like to read these verses, some words, very well known words of Jesus, I think. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Thank God for Jesus, and thank God for his wise counsel and his generous invitations to us always to come to him. Perhaps one of Jesus' best known sayings and most popular are these words in verse 28 and 29 that we've just read. I think what makes it so popular is the fact that it offers rest. And it's as attractive to us in the 21st century as it must have been to the men and women that Jesus was addressing here in Matthew chapter 11. What was their burden? Well, it may have been poverty, living in quite poor situations, circumstances. It may have been a literal physical weight of some kind that was a part of the daily grind of their lives. But it's more likely that it was one of those invisible burdens that we carry around in our hearts and minds that nevertheless weigh us down. They are unmistakably present, even though someone else might not be able to see them. You may be carrying something, maybe some of these things here will be indicative of that. You're carrying some weight, some burden in your heart and in your mind. Nobody else can see it, but you're very conscious of it. It's very present in your daily thinking and your daily lives. The crowds that Jesus addressed were probably made up of hundreds and thousands of individuals that carried weights and burdens of all kinds. And to them all, he issues this wonderfully generous invitation. Come to me, all of you. Come to me, all of you. Whatever the burden was, whatever it consisted of, this wonderful welcome is issued without exception. So it is today. His invitation to all of us, as we've gathered here, is come to me. And Jesus' promise is that he will give rest to those who are so burdened. What does that mean? Does it mean that somehow, magically, he will make the weight disappear? I don't think so. Occasionally, of course, that may happen. But generally, it doesn't mean that. But what he does do is he takes the weight with us. Take my yoke upon you, he says. Or, let's deal with this together. You've been weighed down with this problem, this issue, this responsibility, this decision, because you've been carrying it by yourself. That's why it's weighing you down. And he's saying, let me help you. You can come to me. I'm gentle and humble enough to pick this thing up alongside you. I'll give you rest. I'll ease the burden because I'm going to take my share of it with you. Just these past few weeks, my attention has been taken by two Old Testament passages, both of which speak of a similar promise of rest. And those are the two things that I'd like to speak to you about now, because I think that's what God's put on my heart to say to you this morning. So, there's lots of burdens, there's lots of weights and things that we could be talking about at the moment, but there are two particular things that I'd like to address this morning. The first one, the first of those Old Testament passages is in the book of Exodus and in chapter 33. In my Bible, this passage is underlined and highlighted over many years, because God has used this passage to speak to me so many times over the past 53 years since I've known him as my Savior and God as my Father. And the first time he used it was when Julie and I was working as I worked as a printer for 8 years, and we were living in a house that was tied to the job, and we had felt for a number of years a strong sense that God wanted us to be serving full time in the church in some way or other. I know we're all full time, okay, so, but there was some specific thing that was on our hearts, and it would have meant we'd got two very small children at the time, and it would mean leaving a secure job, leaving the house that we were living in, leaving a regular salary, and going into this particular Christian work that we were praying about. And for a long time we'd been seeking God just for a word. We just wanted him to say something, and this passage just, you know, like sometimes a piece of the Bible leaps out at you and something happens. It's like something clicks in your spirit and you think, that's God, that is God. And that's what happened on this particular occasion. And the remarkable thing for me is that over the years, this passage has occurred at particularly significant times for us. Not that we've gone looking for it, but it will turn up in a daily reading notes, or someone will preach on it that we're listening to, or I'll be reading a book and it's quoted there, just at very significant points. And it's always felt like one of what we perhaps would call a life passage for me and for Julie. So let me just read to you this particular passage. It's in Exodus chapter 33. I think my version is the same as that, but if it's not, you'll see. So, verse 13, okay, thank you very much. This tells me what to do, okay. This is Moses speaking. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. To me, this speaks of one particular type of burden, and I'm calling it the burden of responsibility. The burden of responsibility. Here, Moses is faced with a burden that many have experienced, though probably not to the same degree as Moses. It's the weight of responsibility of leading others or caring for others. For Moses, it was the leadership of a nation, God's chosen people. And he found that burden almost too much to bear. And this is the essence of his prayer as he's coming to God. God, I can't do this. I can't do this unless you go with me, unless you help me. I can't do it. He found that burden almost too much to bear. Now, probably nobody here this morning is experiencing that sort of weight, or not to that degree, not called to lead a nation. But responsibility, no matter how large or small, can feel like a burden. In fact, we actually use that sort of terminology, don't we? We talk about the weight of responsibility or the burden of responsibility that people carry in particular situations. Maybe in your workplace, maybe within your family. It may be for one other person or for many. Whatever it looks like, it feels like a weight. And of course, it may be a responsibility within the church community, over a whole congregation or just part of a congregation of God's people. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses comes before God with this sort of burden and has rightly concluded that he is not able to bear this responsibility unless God does something dramatic. And that's why he is humbling himself before God and effectively saying, I can't do this by myself. And if you, Lord, don't come with me, I'd rather not do this at all. He could, of course, have decided that due to all his previous experience over many years, he could apply the skills that he'd learned and the lessons he'd learned and handle the situation himself. He could have said, well, I have been leading these people for quite a while. We've gone through some tough stuff. And maybe I could use that experience and those lessons, and I could use it in this situation. But Moses was a wise man, and he knew the truth of what David and Solomon were to conclude many years later, as expressed in a number of the Psalms and in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Moses knew that. He knew that the thing I need to do instead of trying to carry this thing by myself, I need to come before God. I need to humble myself before God. I need to fear God in this, because in that I will gain the wisdom that I need to deal with the situation that I'm facing. The wisest thing that anyone can ever do is to conclude that they need God. The wisest thing you've ever done is to come to a point in your life where you said, I can't do this on my own. I need God. I need him at the center of my life. Have you ever thought how strange it is that week after week, Sunday after Sunday, we say the same things, don't we? We sing the same songs, well, not all the same, but yeah, we express the same sentiments over and over again. Why is that? It's because it's part of our recognition that we need God. I can't do this. I can't do the next 6 days unless you come with me. So as a consequence of Moses making that decision and humbling himself before God, he receives this wonderful, reassuring promise. I will go with you. Because his question at the beginning of that, we didn't, in verse 12, it says, you've been telling me that I've got to do this, but you haven't told me who's going to go with me. And God says, I'll go with you. Isn't that amazing? Do you not think that's amazing? That the creator of the universe, the one who sustains all things, has said to us, I'll go with you. I'll lift the burden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What an amazing, amazing, generous God. And there's that word again where he says, I will go with you and I'll give you rest, is what he says to Moses. But it doesn't mean holiday. I'll go with you and give you a holiday.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry. Or retirement.
Oh.
Or I'll give you some inactivity, a time of doing nothing. That isn't really what he's saying. Because Moses is going somewhere. He's actually moving. He's on the move. He's facing a certain direction. And he's carrying these people with him, excuse me, and he's on a journey, he's going somewhere, and the Lord is saying, I'll go with you and I'll give you rest. So it's mobile, this promise. It's going somewhere. So the rest then is an inner rest. It's a peace, a relief that he won't be carrying this responsibility alone. Do you want that this morning? I do. I just want to know that God is saying, I'll go with you. You won't be alone. You're not alone in carrying this weight of responsibility that you feel. And that's the rest that Jesus promises in Matthew chapter 11. And I fully believe it's the promise that he makes to those who today will come to him in worship and humbly admit, I can't do this alone. I need your presence with me. He'll shoulder the burden with you. And when I finally stop talking, I'm going to encourage you, just where you are and just in silence, to identify that weight that you're feeling right now. When I said some of you are carrying a weight that nobody else can see, you knew immediately what that was. You knew it. Some of them are here that you've written down on these pieces of paper. And I'd like us to come humble ourselves before God and bring that weight to him and hear the promises of God as we do it. The burden of responsibility. The second area of in the Old Testament that came to my mind as I was thinking about this, that took my attention, is in the book of Jeremiah. And you may be familiar with this. In Jeremiah chapter 6, again, this one is heavily underlined and highlighted in my Bible, but it's just one verse, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. To me, this speaks about the burden of finding direction. There are lots of other things that we could be thinking about this morning that feel like burdens, but here's another one, is that the burden we feel at times looking for direction and looking for guidance in our lives. That might be one of these here. There goes another one. It may be one of those things. I don't know what to do about this situation. I don't know. I'm faced with a number of choices and I don't know which one to go with. I don't know how. It feels like a weight. It feels like a burden. Jeremiah is a prophet. He speaks for God. And on this occasion, he gives the people of God some wise advice for situations that require guidance and direction. He says, stand at the crossroads and look. This is a place, crossroads are a place of decision making, aren't they? I mean, we know that when we're out for a long walk or we're driving in the car and you come to a point where you're not really sure, should you go left or right or should you go straight on? If you're a man, you just say, well, it's okay, I think I know the way, and you go. And if you have a wife, she'll be sitting by the side of you saying, ask somebody, and you'll say, no, I'm sure, you know. And then half an hour later, you come to the same crossroads again, and your wife is still saying, ask somebody, you know. Of course, many of us have got a somebody in our car that sits on the dashboard and speaks gently to us. Turn there at the next, you know, whatever. Anyway. But we know when you come to those sorts of places in your life where you have to make a choice, that feels like a weight. It certainly was for me and Julie way back 50 odd years ago when we were asking whether to give up this job and whether to move. It was a major thing, and we needed the wisdom of God to make that decision. Now, there are four ways you can look when you're at a crossroads, the sort of crossroads that Jeremiah is talking about here. You can look backwards, stand and look, he says. So you can look backwards. Now, backwards isn't bad, to look backwards. Not bad as long as it's not longingly and nostalgically. When you reach my sort of age, and I can see that some of you may be very close to that, there is a danger, isn't there, when we look back and we say, oh, Julie and I had a lunch together yesterday. And we sat there and we were talking about the old days, you know, and what we were trying to remember the details of our wedding day. And Julie could remember a lot more than I could, but well, she could remember some parts and I could remember other parts. And but anyway, we were talking about this, and the danger at our age is that you begin to say, you know, you have selective memory, don't you? It was so good, wasn't it? Everything was just so wonderful, you know. We didn't have the problems and the weights that we've had. It was just wonderful. Well, I'm sure that's not the case, and that's the danger. Is I wish it was like, I wish we could go back to that. If I had said that to Julie this morning, I wish I could go back 50 years now, just so I don't ache quite so much as I do now. But there is the danger of that. So looking back is not too bad, because you can look back and you can see the faithfulness of God and see the provision of God and the promises of God that have been fulfilled and the lessons learned and the skills that you've learned. It's good to do that. It's good to say, this far, the Lord has helped us. But actually, you don't want to spend your whole life doing that. You want actually to be looking forward and thinking, now, do I go straight on? Do I keep going in the direction that I've been going? Or do I take this turn or that turn? How do I know? So we stand still to consider the options that are open to us as we make our next steps. But before we do that, we need God's counsel to stand and look. I think it's true to say that most of us are not very good at standing still. We're not very good at doing this spiritually, finding a quiet, undisturbed place. It's more and more difficult these days in the environment where there's phones and TV and radios and advice and opinions coming at us from every angle. All the more important then to make time to stand aside, to soak, as we saw earlier there. You know, we need the times to do that. We need to make that time. And the older you get, the more you realize how much you've missed the opportunities to do that. And I just feel like God wants to say to some of us, especially this morning, you're not keeping those regular appointments with me. You're not carving out enough time to stand and look, to be still and know that I'm God. Once we've done that standing still, and we've done those, taken those moments to bring the situations to God and listen for His voice, then we can, I believe, consider more clearly the options that are set before us. I love that passage in Acts chapter 16, where Paul is with his friends. Let me just read to you again in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Like, this is just a lovely picture here, is that it just says, we tried to go this way, but God wouldn't let us. But intriguingly, it doesn't tell us how God told them. How did He tell them? I know it could well be that they got to, you know, like a border post, and there were some pretty hefty looking soldiers there that said, "You're not coming through here." So they turned around and went the other way and concluded that the Spirit of Jesus wasn't letting them go that way. It could be, couldn't it, that it could have been just that. It could have been, you know, a very spiritual thing, but it might just have been, well, we tried that way, that won't work. So let's try this way. And that didn't work. And then Paul has this vision, and God speaks very clearly to him through that. And I like what it says in that last verse. It says, having considered these things, it's like, so we couldn't go that way, and now we can't go that way, and then I've had this dream. I think God's saying, go to Macedonia. So they stood still, if you like, and they considered the things that God was doing in their lives and concluded that this was the right way to go. I love that. Jeremiah, here in Jeremiah 6, says, then ask for the ancient paths. Now, that's not something you often hear as advice these days, is it? You know, when someone's saying, what shall I do? Well, ask for the ancient paths. I mean, what we are normally told is project into the future, moving forward. You know, there's all that sort of stuff, isn't it? So don't think about the past, just think about where you're going to get to in 5 years' time. Where are you going to be? It's all projecting forward. I just think this bit of advice is so helpful. It's not the ancient paths are not the boring old paths or whatever. The ancient paths are simply what we find described in this book. The ancient paths are the way God has led his people and the way God has spoken to his people in the past and the way he's directed them, whether it's Moses or Jeremiah or the disciples of Jesus or Paul and his friends. It's saying, look here, ask for the ancient path. God, do you know, when I read through the book of Acts, I've been reading through it recently, and I'm thinking, God, I want to be like that. I want to hear you like they heard you. I want my life to be as, I want it to sing with your presence, you know, and be as confident as they were, that you were with them and leading them. Ask for the ancient paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Ask him for his ways. Passages like this come more clearly into focus at those times in our lives when we have life-changing decisions to make. What career to pursue, who to marry, where to live, when to move house, and so on. But I think it's a wise thing, actually, to also make a practice of standing and looking in the everyday situations we come across. A regular acknowledgement of God's presence and the fact that he wants to be involved in the details of our lives. Julie and I have tried to make a practice, even at our great age. We're not quite 90 yet, but, you know, we're getting on. And, you know, to actually make ourselves say at different points, Lord, is this where you want us to be? Or do you want us to be somewhere else? You know, you think, well, no, that's what young people pray. It's what young people are doing when, you know, when they're trying to make decisions about their future. I'm not sure that ever should stop. I think whatever age you are, we still need to be flexible in the hands of God. And saying to him is, am I doing the thing that you want me to do for the rest of my life? Or is there something else you want me to do? Somewhere else you want me to be? Having a regular acknowledgement of God's presence and the fact that he wants to be involved in the details of our lives. And then Jeremiah finally goes on to say, ask where the good way is. And then comes that promise again, you will find rest for your souls. Again, it doesn't mean inactivity or passivity. We're choosing a path to go along. But in the deciding and then the walking, God's promise is to be with us and give us peace, confidence, security, and the knowledge that he is there, helping us to carry the burdens we hold in our hearts and minds. Well, that's me done. But I would like us now just to take some moments to do some things. The first, really, I want to ask you, perhaps if you close your eyes, it might help you to focus. I'd like you to, with me, identify the responsibilities that you feel as a burden, as a weight in your life. There are things, there are people that you care about, there are people that you're concerned for, there are situations that feel like you're carrying a weight. Maybe nobody else knows about it, nobody else can see it. But for you, it's a weight. It's a weight in your heart and it's a weight in your mind. And I think it may be that the other thing is the burden of finding direction for your life, that you're needing to make a decision about something that you have to do or somewhere you have to be or go or whatever. And I'd like you just in this moment to just identify that. Name it in your heart. And now, I don't think you need to go scratching around to find those things. I think they'll be very obvious. They'll be immediate. You'll know them straight away, what they are. Now, God's word is stand and look. You don't need to stand up. We can do it sitting down. But what I mean, I think, means just stop where you are and consider these things and look at them. Feel the weight of it. You can look back with gratitude for the things that God has given you in the past, but now there are things that you need to decide upon for today and for the future. Now, here again, as you just hold those things in your heart and in your mind before your loving Father, your wonderful Saviour, just hear what He says to you this morning again. Come to me. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart. I will carry this with you. I want to lift this with you. Take my yoke upon you, and you'll find rest for your soul. My presence will go with you, and I'll give you rest. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and you'll find rest for your soul. Father, we need this. Father, there's not one person in this room that doesn't need this. You have created us to need you. You've created us, Lord, not to live this life alone and to walk this path alone. You've created us, Lord, to be dependent upon you. And we humble ourselves before you at this moment and acknowledge that, Lord. Some of us, Father, need to say, I've been trying to carry this by myself. I've been trying to lift this burden, carry this responsibility, make this decision. I've been trying to do it by myself. I've been leaning on my own understanding. But Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I pray now, Lord, I want to say to you again, let your presence go with me. Lord, let me know your presence. Let me know, Lord Jesus, that you're lifting this with me. You're carrying this with me. Let me feel your yoke around my shoulders and the lifting of the weight. Lord, we each of us ask you, give us rest for our souls. Lord, thank you for the promises you've made, and thank you that you are faithful. And I pray, Lord, that for each one of us, Lord, as we go from this place today, face the decisions, face the responsibilities, that we will feel a lightness, Lord, a sense that you're saying, I'll go with you, I'll go with you, and I'll give you rest. And may it result, Lord, in much praise rising to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.